And as I go through these various instructions, maybe some of you have heard them already, maybe some of you are very familiar with them, so never mind. Can't say close your ears, but but if you do hear certain aspects of the instructions you find new to you or interesting, maybe you could apply them, especially while you're here. See if they are of benefit or useful to you. So we take up a reasonably comfortable sitting position first. And as we do so, to bring attention to the body sitting here, the way that we know that the sitting position is comfortable is to ask the body to tune into the sensations that make up our experience of body, allow the body to speak to you, rather than say, stay in your brain and ask the body, how are you doing down there? Go to the body directly with awareness. How does the body feel at this particular time? And there is, for me, first of all, the general impressions, the general sensation of the body. The body is relaxed or tense, as much as you can be aware of it. Can you be aware of the level of energy in the body right now? Still a bit heavy, lethargic. Got up too early this morning, maybe. Oh, the body feel as if it's well rested. Just for example, you maybe notice just how you hold your back upright. Take some effort to hold your back up. Or is there enough energy in the body to keep your body upright without effort, without straining? And we're just trying to observe, just be aware of what these conditions are at this particular time. There's no ideal to live up to, just observing. As best we are able to, with awareness. So those are general impressions of the body, and then maybe more specifically, are there any places in the body where you notice some discomfort, tension in the muscles, some strain in the joints? Of course, if you're over 50, everywhere is a strain in the joint, but I mean in general, or specifically, by sitting cross-legged or whatever. And if there are slight discomforts, be aware of them, because possibly they may get stronger. And if there is some discomfort in the body, that'll attract your attention, whether you're conscious of it or not. So if you're trying to be aware of the sensations of natural breathing, which is our main focus for attention, and your body's uncomfortable, well, your attention will go to those places, those uncomfortable places, rather than your breath. So it's helpful that the body is relaxed, can maintain a certain relaxation, free of discomfort, at least reasonably comfortable. Probably it's never perfectly comfortable. And once the body is reasonably comfortable, you can bring your attention to, say, the nostrils, or anywhere else in the body where you can be aware of the sensation of inhalation, exhalation, this continuous breathing process. Can you notice that sensation of natural breathing? Or is it hard to notice, hard to find? If it is, you can always take a few deep, strong inhalations, exhalations, just to familiarize yourself with that sensation. But we always allow the breathing to return to a natural rhythm. So you're able to be aware of this sensation of natural breathing. Is it reasonably sharp, reasonably clear? In other words, how awake, alert, clear is your mind at this time? How sharp is the awareness of the mind? And if you notice the mind is obviously not very awake and alert and aware, it may be helpful to open your eyes somewhat. Maybe bring a little bit more attention to the body sitting upright, without straining, of course. You can always give a bit more attention to the inhalation if your mind's a bit dull. Inhalation is a bit more energizing. If your body is obviously tense, your mind's restless, you can give a little bit more special attention to the exhalation, which is generally more relaxing. So it's an exercise in focusing attention, which can help to calm the mind. You can use this focusing of awareness on the breathing as our main focus of attention, our main point of reference. And I just emphasize it's the main one, because most people's experience is that it's hard to sustain the attention there. For a length of time anyway. But if you notice the attention wandering off the breathing, just turn the attention back again, because the breathing's always there. Observing this sensation of natural breathing, are you able to sustain that attentiveness on the breathing? Or do you notice the mind wandering off, drifting off, being pulled away from it with thoughts and memories? That's part of the meditation process too. Be aware of what's actually going on in the mind in reference to the breathing. Rather than react to the so-called restlessness of mind, just be more consistent with bringing attention back to the breathing. Train the mind to settle attention on the breathing. Gently, patiently, back to the breathing again, back to the breathing again. In this way, we begin to change that habit of restlessness of mind into, you can say, a habit of focused attention, settledness of mind on the breathing. But changing that habit will probably take some time. consistency, continuity is very helpful. Try to follow this experience of sensational natural breathing on the beginning of the inhalation, following it through to its end, slight pause, beginning of the exhalation, following it through to its end, just another slight pause, beginning of inhalation again. Notice the attention wandering, gently, patiently return it back to the breathing again. The ever-present breathing. And since the focusing of attention on the sensation of natural breathing is a bodily sensation, it can sometimes be helpful to develop this awareness of sensation more generally. We're aware of other sensations in the body, especially if they're more prominent. It can sort of help focus the mind on sensation, and then more specifically on the sensation of breathing. So I'll just introduce a little bit of a special exercise. Hopefully it'll help you to be more aware of sensation in general. So as we're aware of the sensation of natural breathing, say at the nostrils, now we can move attention through the body, observing sensation at different parts of the body. So from, say, the nostrils, you notice the particular sensation of breathing at the nostrils. See if you can move your attention up to around the eyes right now. Is there any obvious sensation around the eyes? Pressure on the eyelids as they're closed. Maybe there's some heaviness in your eyes, especially if you haven't slept a lot last night. Maybe there's a bit of tension around the eyes. Maybe there's nothing obvious. Or it can be also external, is the cool air in the room around your eyes. Just trying to observe what the general sensation at this particular place in the body is. And of course, it's very different than the sensation of breathing at the nostrils. So you need to expand your understanding of sensation. And from around the eyes, maybe moving your attention up to the forehead. There can be sensation externally, say just the cool air or your hair touching your forehead if you have some. Maybe there's some sensation more internally. A bit of pressure behind the forehead. Maybe there's some movement of your thoughts behind the forehead, in the cerebral cortex. And moving the attention to the very top of the head. Is there any sensation in the very top of your head right now? Maybe there's no obvious sensation, but at least we know where that part of the body is. So just being having attention there at this moment. Maybe you may notice something. Heaviness, lightness, warmth or coolness. For example, maybe something else. Then moving the attention to the back of the head, where the skull joins with the neck. Is there any sensation there? Externally, internally? Maybe nothing obvious at this particular time. Then down the back of the neck. Maybe there's a sensation of your hair or your clothes touching your neck, the skin of your neck. Maybe there's some sensations in the muscles of the neck. Yeah. Stiff neck. Maybe. Just noticing sensation in general. And then down the neck to the upper part of the back, perhaps stretching out to the shoulders. Any sensation in the shoulders right now? Heaviness, lightness, tension. Down the back, from the upper part of the back, middle of the back, the lower back. Any sensation there? Warmth, coolness. The muscles in your back, are they tense or relaxed? If they're tense, it can be helpful to relax them somewhat, otherwise they're going to get more tense. And then moving the attention down, continuing down the back, to the backside on the cushion or the chair. There's an obvious sensation, the weight of the body pressing down. Just trying to be aware of that sensation. That's the sensation of the body. And we can slowly move the attention down the legs. Ideally down the back of the legs first. The back of the thighs. Down to the inside of the knees. Any sensation there? Pressure against the cushion or your other lower part of the leg? Or maybe something more internally. And down the back of the calves, the lower part of the legs, the calf area. Can you sense that part of the body? Is there a sensation there? Are you aware of that sensation? See if you can move your attention then down to the bottom of the feet. Is there any obvious sensation in the bottom of your feet right now? Cool or warm, for example? it's hard to be aware of them, never mind. At least we know where that place is in the body, at least in our mind anyway. We can't experience it directly in the body. Moving the attention around to the front of the legs, front of the foot in particular. Any sensation? Maybe pressing down on the mat or the cushion. Moving up through the shins, front of the leg, lower legs. Slowly moving up to the knees. Maybe there's some sensation in the knees, quite obvious. The knees are bent, pressure of your clothes across the knees, or maybe there's some sensation internally in the knees, knees bent or twisted, especially if you're sitting cross-legged. And moving up the front of the upper part of the legs, across the thighs. Maybe there's the pressure of your forearms on your thighs or your hands there. Just try to tune into that sensation. What it feels like. There's warmth, there's coolness, there's a certain pressure to it. It's got its own particular quality to it, hasn't it? And moving the attention to the lower part of the upper body, the abdomen area. Is there any sensation there? Is your abdomen relaxed or tense, for example? You notice, you can be aware of the sensation of breathing. The abdomen expands with the inhalation, contracts with the exhalation. Maybe there's something else there. A warmth or a coolness. I guess it depends how much chili you had in your breakfast this morning. Moving up to the solar plexus area. That's where actually what controls the breathing, the solar plexus. When your solar plexus expands, the breath comes in, the air comes into your lungs, and the solar plexus contracts, the air leaves the lungs. If you're breathing properly, but there may be some other sensation there more internally. Especially noticing if your solar plexus is relaxed or tense. And moving your attention up to the very center of the chest. We call the spiritual heart area. There's an obvious sensation of the chest rising and falling with the breathing. Maybe there's some other sensation there. Maybe a bit more internally. Yeah, we have these expressions in English: heavy-hearted, light-hearted, warm-hearted, cool-hearted. Generally it applies to an emotion, but there's also a physical implication there, right? Heavy-hearted. Well, what do you notice any sensation then in the heart area right now? Externally, internally. Moving up to the front of the throat. Maybe maybe the cool air on your front of your throat. Maybe there's some other sensation there. Tightness in the throat, or it's relaxed. Moving up to the jaw. At least you know where that place is. There's a cool air on your jaw right now, likely. Then moving up to the sensation of natural breathing at the nostrils once again. When you return your attention to the sensation of natural breathing at the nostrils, is it any more clear? Less clear? So really we can take anything as a focus for attention. The breathing is especially useful because it's always present. It's also because it's a sensation, it can be a good balance to our usual overemphasis on thinking, because sensation is not a thought. So when we attend to sensation, we have to dismiss, we have to step away from the thoughts. And as I mentioned, continuity is very helpful, and just repetition is very supportive of concentration. However, sometimes repetition can also make the mind dull. But if you notice the mind slipping into dullness, it may be helpful to, can be helpful to energize the mind by moving the attention to other sensations. Of course, you can always think about something inspiring or interesting, but it tends to stir up the thoughts. So you have inspiring thoughts, but your mind is a bit turbulent then. But if you use a sensation, you develop awareness with sensation, can help to calm the thoughts, can also bring up some energy in the body and the mind. And a little aside, I find from my own experience is that sometimes moving the attention through the body, it can be like a bit of a physical massage, especially if your body's feeling a bit tense or a bit heavy, a bit stiff. Just mentally moving your attention through the body is like you're giving yourself a mental massage with the body, giving your body a mental massage with the mind. You may notice the body can feel but much more relaxed. So especially if you notice the mind is dull, and then giving the mind something to do, putting it to work, can help to energize the mind. So maybe you can try this exercise then, see if it works for you if your mind is dull. And you can do this moving the attention around to different places. You can do this quickly or slowly. You can use it as an exercise to energize the mind specifically, or to increase the awareness. If you notice particular places in the body where there's strong sensation, just allow your attention to settle there for a while. Whatever is the strongest impression, of course, will attract your attention. You don't have to attend to it. It'll attract your attention. The limitation of these other sensations is that they tend to change. They aren't so regular as the breathing. So if they do change, you find the mind drifting, just go back to the breathing again, because the breathing's always happening. So there's two aspects to this. There's the awareness of the breathing, and there's the focusing of attention on the breathing. And they support each other. The continuity of attentiveness, of awareness of breathing, can increase the concentration. When the mind is more concentrated, settled upon something, it allows you to attend more closely. That is, to be more aware of it. If you can settle your attention there. If your mind is flitting around, it's hard to be aware and attentive to anything in particular. If you do notice, sometimes the mind is wandering quite regularly. Sometimes it can be helpful just to notice where the mind is wandering or what it's wandering about. A thought, a memory, just to notice what it is. And maybe if you want to continue with the theme of this retreat, as you're observing the thought, where's it coming from? What's triggering it off? What's the beginning of it? And again, the important part is to allow the awareness to see it, rather than go back into your mind and think about where the thought came from. It's more thinking again. It's not getting down to the root or cause of the thought. It's just increasing the thought. You notice your mind thinking again, back to the breathing. So we bring your attention back to the body sitting here once again, observing the general condition of the body, general sensation of the body, particularly if the body is relaxed or tense. It's more helpful in this meditative process if the body is relaxed and yet energized. The body's tensing up, probably you're trying too hard with willpower. So now you can relax your posture and open your eyes. And usually for As far as formal exercises go, we usually alternate between periods of sitting meditation and walking meditation. Sitting is more passive, walking is more active, if you like. It also gives your knees a break. And it can also allow you to be more adaptable in the applying meditation exercises. The Buddha talked about four postures: sitting, walking, standing, and lying down. I won't talk about the lying down posture till this evening. But walking meditation, for example, we do a fair amount of walking, especially here, walking back and forth. Our lodgings to the sala here, so you can use this exercise in walking meditation either formally speaking. Okay, it's very similar to the exercises in sitting meditation, we try to focus our attention upon a particular meditation object. And when you're walking, the most consistent and obvious sensation is the feet touching the ground, right? It's called walking. If your feet aren't touching the ground, you're probably flying. So it's helpful generally to bring attention to what is most obvious. So when you're sitting, the most consistent and obvious, or at least consistent anyway, and then obvious sensation is breathing. When you're walking, the most consistent and ideally obvious sensation is the feet touching the ground, you see. When you, of course, you're breathing too, but you know, for most people, it's probably a little bit too subtle. It's not so obvious, but the sensation of feet touching the ground is more obvious. Then there may be other sensations too, you know, the sun on your face or your skin or the wind or something, but always come back to the most obvious or consistent sensation, feet touching the ground. And you can do this in a formal way. If you find a particular place where you can walk back and forth, usually about 20 to 30 paces is ideal. It allows you to get into the flow of walking without walking too far or getting too lost. So if you find a walking path, a place you can call a path, somehow you can either count your steps so you get familiar with how far to walk, or designate the beginning and end. And the benefit of having a particular place to walk back and forth in is that initially, you have to have your eyes open to see where you're walking so you don't trip on anything. But if you walk back and forth in the same place, after a while it gets boring. So you can turn your awareness inside and beware, pay more attention inside, being aware of the sensation inside, or the thoughts inside, whether you have concentration or not. But if you go to, you're walking around in nature, especially around here, you got to be more attentive to outside, because there are creepy crawlies around here. Yeah. Not to mention just things that trip over. So you spend more of your energy looking out than looking in, you see. But if you walk back and forth in the same place, okay, it looks a bit odd, but people around here are familiar with it. I once gave a retreat in Newcastle City. This is a Newcastle in England. And so I told the people, I heard already that the monk before me had taught this walking meditation back and forth on the streets, you see. And somebody called the police because they thought this person was a robber casing the place, you see, walking back and forth, looking for an open window, you know. So I told the people that, you know, we do walking meditation, but we'll walk incognito, see, just walk on the streets and not back and forth in the same place, but just walk through the streets. There was a park nearby, and so we walked around the streets, and every once in a while we met each other, and so we incognito meditators, and nobody even recognized us, you see. We need to adapt to the time and place, you see. And maybe if you're adapting the walking to your own apartment or your own house, you have to, maybe 30 steps is too long. You walk out on your balcony and off the balcony. You have to do it just 10 steps in your kitchen or something, you know, depending upon the place and the weather. Say just in general, about 20 to 30 steps. And Ajahn Chah suggests we just walk at a normal pace. I mean, some teachers, they say walk very slowly, you know, but he just said walk at a normal pace. So you have to find out yourself what's normal for you. And again, if you just listen to your body will tell you. You know, if your body's a bit sluggish, it might say walk a bit faster, otherwise you're going to collapse, you know. And if you notice the body a bit restless, maybe walking faster is much more in tune with the way the body is at that time, you see. But maybe you walk for a little while much more quickly, and then the body slows down naturally. So the important part is Same as a sitting, tune into the body when you begin sitting, when you begin walking. Let the body tell you what's a normal pace. And as we walk, first of all, we're aware of the body walking. Then you can settle your attention, focus on the sensation of feet touching the ground, you see, as your main focus for attention, your main point of reference. And likewise, as in the sitting, if your mind wanders, bring it back to the sensation of feet touching the ground. Simple, right? So we can do this. I mean, there's a formal exercises, as I mentioned, walking on a path, for example, back and forth. But also, the continuity is very helpful. So, you know, when you say, when you get up from sitting here, you're walking down to your lodging, you can use that as an opportunity to do walking meditation. Not on the path, so to speak, you know, back and forth, but just be aware of walking. And just as in this exercise of moving attention through the body, you know, if you maintain some degree of continuity through all of our activities, whatever we're doing, we're using the body, so you can maintain some awareness of what you're doing. You're walking, you're standing, you're putting your clothes on, you're having a shower. Shortly after this, it's a eating meditation. Lunch eating meditation, always a very interesting time to watch your mindfulness. But it would be it's helpful, I find myself anyway, that, you know, to be, if you want to be aware of sensation, to be aware of what's the most prominent sensation. What's the most obvious and consistent sensation. So doing some of the other activities, you know, getting dressed or having a shower or eating, there's a variety of different sensations going on. You know, a very, very strong sensation. Of course, our hands are very sensitive, so you always bring your attention to your sensation in the hands. You know, when you're eating something, you know, your hand is touching the spoon or the fork or whatever. You put it in your mouth, and then there's the sensation of the food in your mouth, and then there's the sensation of chewing, sensation of taste first, I guess, and then chewing, if you like it. I don't know what you do if you don't like it. Chew it anyway, to be polite. Then when that sensation ends, you know, you're seeing the plate, and then you're touching the spoon again. And so you can also have some adaptability, flexibility with awareness as well, but still maintaining a continuity of awareness. And I find myself that, you know, in the beginning anyway, it's helpful to continue the awareness with regard to sensation in the body, especially if you have a lot of activity in your mind. Not to try and stop thinking, but if you give your attention to sensation, the thoughts will subside by themselves because you aren't attending to them. If you bring your attention to your thoughts, well, you energize your thoughts, you stir them up, and they get more active. But if you just withdraw your attention from your thoughts, put it on the breathing, your feet touching the ground, other sensations in the body, you notice that the thoughts will... you actually forget them. You withdraw energy from them. You withdraw attention from them. And will stop by themselves without making them into an enemy. You know, there was one friend of ours, I mean, a long time ago, and he had a bit of trouble with meditation. And then he told me that he noticed that he had learned meditation as don't think. Read a book about meditation long ago, and it said, don't think. Meditation is not thinking. But of course, pretty hard to stop thinking. So he spent the first month of a meditation retreat trying to stop thinking. It was a real struggle. It took him a whole month to get into it. Then he got peaceful. Then when he left the retreat, he got terribly depressed because he couldn't stop thinking. But if you just withdraw the attention from the thoughts quieten down, you know, by themselves. You don't have to do anything with them. Or in following this theme I gave you, I mean, maybe just if you can observe, put yourself in the position of, you know, trying to observe where the thoughts come from, what's the source of them, what's the cause of them. You don't get too preoccupied with sorting out your thoughts. And just recognize they are part of experience. It's like these various physical sensations that come through the body. You know, they come and they go. You know, 1 minute you notice there is some tension in a part of the body. As soon as you bring attention to it, maybe it relaxes. Yeah. Just the nature of sensation, always changing. So if you have some continuity anyway, if you can maintain some continuity of awareness of sensation, particularly, and from time to time you may notice there's some thoughts happening. Yeah. If you can observe the thoughts, fine. Generally, if your mind is calm enough, you're able to observe the thoughts without engaging with the thoughts, trying to do something with them, reacting to the thoughts. You can just observe them. When you can observe the thoughts, maybe you can observe what's behind it. What's the source of them? What's the cause of them? But if you find yourself getting dragged into the thoughts, thinking about the thought, more helpful to go back to the breathing. Sustain some awareness of attentiveness on breathing to help calm the thinking again, thinking process, but gives you the possibility to observe it again from a place of more calm than be able to observe it rather than be reacted upon by it.